This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, an online audio magazine for football referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum and I'm affiliated with the Somerset FA, and my colleague, who we're going to hear from shortly, is the Somerset FA County Training Officer and PGMOL Assessor, Richard Mellon. If it's your first time listening, thanks very much for dropping by and tuning in. Don't forget, you can either listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or on iTunes. Just search for Referee's World and subscribe to the podcast for free and you'll be automatically notified every time there's a new episode. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, so if you want to like us and follow us, then you'll be kept up to date with everything that's happening. And of course, it's always nice to receive your tweets and posts as well. Okay, this is the first of a two-part episode featuring the Young Referees Development Plan. The conference took place on the weekend of the 21st and the 22nd of July in Staverton, and we were invited by the Football Association to attend and talk to some of the guest speakers, the tutors, and of course the young referees who attended. The event was officially opened by David Ellery, who gave us a firm and positive introduction and then spoke to Rich Mellon straight afterwards. Referees
World. I have the opportunity at the moment to speak to the chairman of the FA Referees Committee, David Ellery. David opened the conference this morning and sent out a very strong but positive message about this plan and programme that is available to these young referees attending. David, give me a bit of background, first of all, about yourself. How you got into refereeing and at what age?
I started refereeing when I was 14, the classic example of not being a very good player, and I refereed at the highest level until 2003 when I retired from the Premier League, having had a number of years on FIFA as well, and I'm now chairman of the Referees Committee, president of the RA, and on the UEFA Referees Committee.
Okay, thank you very much for that brief summary. We will cover issues relating to the RA, and I know that's quite a passion of yours as well. But first of all, let's talk about the Young Referees Development Plan that is currently in progress. Your message this morning, it was about professionalism. Would you like to expand a little bit more about what you're expecting from these young referees and how those that are listening to this might use your advice as well?
Yes, in simple terms, we've adapted the Young Referee Development Programme to move slightly down to an earlier stage in referees' careers, because we believe, as in the golf analogy I used, that if you learn and then put into practice, that's better than practicing and then trying to learn the theory. What we really want is to adapt their attitudes as much as their skills, that they learn to be self-critical, to take responsibility for themselves, and to set themselves the highest standards of professionalism.
Can we just step back then and use that golf analogy to explain and help people understand how they might better their performance in early stages?
Yes, in terms of golf, I mean, those people who played golf, normally they pick up a club, borrow some clubs for some friends, hack around with a ball for 6 months, and then decide to take some lessons. But by that time, they've already got into bad habits, which is very difficult to get rid of. So in an ideal world, if you want to be a good golfer, a good driver, you know, good at driving a car, you understand the theory, you have lessons, you then go out and start playing or start driving. And that's what we're trying to do with refereeing, is to give them lots of tools, lots of ideas, lots of attitude in the early stages before they get into bad habits.
So those referees that are not able to be here attending this program, how might they help themselves outside of this environment?
Well, I think if they follow all the information that we publish on the FA website through podcasts like this, to talk to the young referees in their counties who've been there. There are many ways in which they can get the information that we're imparting at this weekend.
That's Rich talking to David Ellery, who's still very active, but more so behind the scenes these days, and a great referee in his time. Be interesting to see, actually, wouldn't it, how David Ellery's style of refereeing, and it was a unique style of refereeing, would work in the Premiership as it is today. So, what could be expected at the conference? Roger Vaughan, National Referee Manager for Recruitment, Retention and Development, followed by Senior National Game Referee Manager Ian Blanchard, explain in more detail.
Yeah, this really is a revamp of the Young Referees Conference that we've run over a number of years now. And this programme is all about linking in the development of young officials with the National Referee Development Programme. So today is the launch of it. This is the foundation year. We've got nearly 100 referees of levels 7 to 5 from around the country coming along to receive some theoretical training, some talks about their plans and their goals for the future, and then lots of practical work down the fields today and tomorrow.
Okay, what sort of things will those attending expect to be involved with today?
There will be lots of input on a practical nature, things like body language, playing advantage, managing free kicks, managing penalties, all the sort of stuff that these guys need within their refereeing at the moment. So some of them will have only been refereeing a year or two, some of them a little bit longer, but they're still operating within the grassroots element of the game, mainly on their own with club assistance. So it's the sort of skills and qualities they need to develop their refereeing in that format and to progress.
Okay, and on the practical side, what will they be doing in those areas?
Well, they will have the opportunity on the fields to put into place some of the stuff that we've talked about in a very practical sense. They'll then reflect on that. They'll be completing their own learning logs, which they'll then be able to take back and put into place back in their counties.
Okay, so there's a bit inside to be where they have to listen and be introduced, and then there's a practical element outside this afternoon.
And that's the big emphasis is on the practical today and tomorrow. After each session, they'll be encouraged to reflect on what they've learned, how they're going to apply it themselves, and then really the whole purpose of this program is that it's a two-year program. Today is the foundation, the start of the foundation year, and when they come back next year will be the advanced section, where there'll be the emphasis will be on teamwork, so working with assistants as they progress within their refereeing.
This is the Referees World Podcast.
The opening by David Ellery was quite direct. Mm-hmm. He's looking for professionalism. Would you like to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, Richard, I think it is all about being professional. It's recognising that if we can instil our young referees certain attributes early on in their careers, hopefully that will then just be replicated and become part of them. So yes, it's about being professional. It's also about having the right attitude. It's about being positive. It's about really showing a huge amount of commitment to actually their own development, but also utilising everything that's around them. Everything that's around them in the county football associations, through the referee development officers, through the referees association, it really is utilising everything. And we want to create, and we will create, what I believe is a learning environment. Because refereeing isn't just going out there blowing a whistle, making decisions. The good referees will learn from their experiences. So this particular aspect of the conference, the foundation programme, and in a year's time, the advanced programme, there is a definite progression pathway between the two, and a huge part of that will be self-induced learning.
Now let's step back away a moment, and we have 100 candidates from various counties right across England. Mm-hmm. How do those candidates come to be here?
Well, what we did is we sent out a calling notice to all the referee development officers and the county FAs. We said that there's a great opportunity. We are re-establishing what was previously the Young Referees Conference. We wanted to make it a development programme, and we asked for two nominations. And the criterion was that they had to be, rather than going towards level 4, young in experience. So we're looking at someone who's a level 7, 6, or maybe just newly qualified and promoted to level 5. So again, it's really focusing on those referees who are learning the trade early on in their experiences, so we can actually give them quality information and hopefully give and install in them the attributes, the desires, the skills that they need to progress.
Okay, there were a couple of expectations listed that related to the county FAs that they represent. This is going a little bit further than just representing a county FA when you come to a national conference, isn't it? So they're under the spotlight.
Yes.
There is an expectation of them. What are the qualities that you're looking for from those individuals?
This weekend, get involved, show interest, question, debate, challenge when it's needed. And I think just looking at the overall package, just looking at some of the young people that we have, and they're actually, for me, it's about taking the opportunities that we're giving them.
And we have approximately 100 candidates here, as I think we've already mentioned. Is it restricted to numbers?
We wanted a smaller group. The previous Young Referees Conference catered for about 175 referees. We wanted a smaller group because what we want from this is it's not just a one-off conference. It's not just a one-off programme. This is a development programme. This is the start of it. What we'll do between now and 12 months' time when they come back is track their involvement, ask them to do things, come on, listen to podcasts that we're going to generate about the technical aspects of the game, the skills aspects of refereeing. We'll ask them to look at match incidents and analyse those match incidents, as well as keeping, again, this learning learning log, learning journal about what have they learned from every situation that arises during their career over the next 12 months.
Okay, and this is a two-year programme as opposed to the previous programme that was in place. Mm-hmm. What were the initial changes that are quite notable from the previous one to this one that we now have?
Yeah, I mean,
and what was behind those changes, actually?
I'm pleased to say that with the support of the Referees Committee and through David Ellery, the chairman, I put a paper together recognising that I think we needed to refresh the whole young referee programme that we had. And from that, I was very mindful of what they do in education. I was very mindful of what they do in coaching and recognised that there is definitely a pathway, a clear development that people can buy into and hopefully progress. And that's really what this is all about. So it's a smaller group, it's a younger group, it's a less experienced group, but ultimately what we're looking for in 12 months' time is the maximum opportunity from everything that they're going to sample, both generated by the FA, by the county FAs, by the referee development officers, but also recognising the role that the RA have in educating referees as well.
There's a lot of information and a lot of background to that, Ian, and quite clearly using the street of life to draw resources, ideas and exactly people from those areas to come in and develop under the culture of refereeing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And you've mentioned that, Richard, that culture refereeing. And this is about changing that culture. And this is about maximising the culture as well. Because I think we've always said refereeing's, you know, part of a great family. Absolutely right. But this is more than that. This is part of a culture which recognises fundamentally the development of young people, young referees. And that is vitally important because at the end of the day, it's incumbent on me to provide and produce first class, real quality referees that are able to move up the ladder into Supply League football.
This is Referees World.
Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk
or search iTunes for Referees World.
You're listening to the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon, and we're taking a look back at the Young Referees Development Plan. During the course of the weekend, there were various practical workshops taking place and a great chance to pick up some tips and advice to improve performance. Here's Rich now getting stuck into a couple of those workshops, one about being an effective assistant referee and the other one all about the correct body language to use on the field of play.
This is going to be interesting because body language plays an important part for refereeing. Doing some simple basic stuff here. This may seem obvious, but this is reality. Reality means getting it right when we got the chance to practice. And here we're going to practice. Referee walks out into the field of play with the ball under her arm. We're going to look for the advice because they're all going to go through how they carry the ball and demonstrate how they do it. They've all calmly walked out. One or two have had the ball tucked under the arm. One or two have had the ball out on the palm of their hand walking away. Looked a bit tense, some of them, I think Roger's saying. And no smiles. Didn't look relaxed.
Smile if you can. If you can't smile when you walk onto the field, you're never going to smile when you're out there.
Okay, Alan's setting them up now. This is about player approaches to the referee.
Right, okay. And what's going to happen is your mate, now the footballer, you're going to run at them. You are really annoyed. You've completely lost your temper. That doesn't mean to run, say, run up and smack the referee. What I'm saying is run up and just have a good shout at the referee. You are unhappy with the decision. Okay? You ready? Go and shout at your referee. Go!
It's exactly as I expected it. This is the referee stood his ground, having gained a decision, and the player is running at the referee. This is a very, very interesting situation to watch. Funny as well, because this is a little bit of learning, but it's an important part for referees. Because we're talking in this session about body language. Let's see what happens. There's one or two playing around with cards and flashing yellows and reds. There's one or two smiling, so they've had a good time. Hopefully they've learnt something from it, because this is the point. They should be here learning something from this session. Lots of smiles everywhere.
So, Roger?
Right, okay. So, what did you observe?
Carnage.
Up description.
Absolute animal.
Lots of cards.
An animal.
Lots of cards. Right, okay. Cards coming
interesting.
Out.
Interesting.
Yeah? What do we feel about the cards coming out there?
Sometimes it's red rag to a book on it.
It's an interesting point because one of the other groups, somebody said about getting the card out as they're coming towards you, just having the card down there. as a sort of deterrent. But to me,
the trouble
with that is, you straight away then you've committed yourself. Mm. Once the card is in the open, everyone sees it. You then put it away, you've lost all credibility. All right?
Yeah. The only problem is that, like, I find by doing, like, if you did that, he could be coming over to say that his pair in the far corner's just had a heart attack.
Yeah. Exactly. So don't sort of commit yourself with that.
You are getting to the stage. The reason you are on this young referee development programme is because you've come out the stage of basic referee courses. You've come out the stage of learning what a free kick is. Now you're starting to get more technical as a referee. And you've got to start thinking about things like body language. Some of yous, if not already, will be refereeing Supply League football. So now you've got to start thinking about, well, it's not about the recognition of a foul, because the expectation is you know what a foul is. What we're looking for now is the more technical side of the game. And one of them, and one of the biggest sides of it, is body language. People take an image of you within the first 20 to 30 seconds. As a referee, when you blow your whistle, people on the sideline automatically take an image of what you look like at that time. Body language is everything that you think about. So think about the different stages. When you walk out with a ball, people look at you. When you've got the captains in, it's the first time you blow your whistle. They come into you and everybody's watching what you do. And then the other end of the spectrum is when a player absolutely loses their temper, and you are then having to kick into calming the player down mode. Yeah, you've got to start thinking like this as referees, and especially when you leave the conference this weekend. This is more technical advanced refereeing.
I've just watched the session on body language, and the lead tutor was Alan Young. Alan, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Yeah, my name's Alan Young, referee development manager at Cambridgeshire Football Association, and just been successful on the Football League this year as an assistant referee and contributory conference north to be referee, and been tutoring. This is my third young referees conference now as a lead tutor, level 3 tutor. The session we've done today was on body language, really, and it was what we wanted the guys to understand, is that there's all different stages of body language. It can be something as simple as walking on to the field of play with a ball in your hand at the start, or it can be something, you know, where you get the captains together and you're tossing the coin, introducing yourself, and then the other end of the spectrum is where players are running at you aggressively. So what we wanted to achieve was, out of the session, was get the guys to walk out first and foremost, and how they would actually walk out with a ball, get them to understand how people can perceive them differently. And then taking it on to sort of stage two of the session was getting them to have the captains in, and how they introduce themselves to the captains. You know, how do they shake the hand of the captain? Do they talk too much? What is the captain's impressions? And really starting to get them to think outside the box, especially at this level of refereeing. And then the third one was, obviously, we would get them to, they would get a partner, and the partner would run at them and be aggressive, and seeing what sort of attributes they were using. Were they being aggressive back? Were they being submissive? Were they, you know, being open towards them and being assertive, and then really getting them to reflect on it. And what is funny about it is none of them actually think about how they walk out with a ball. None of them think about how they toss the coins to the captains. And this is what the development program's all about. It's because we're taking them up to that other stage of refereeing, that technical side of refereeing.
Yeah. So what were some of the qualities you were particularly looking for in the body language?
Just really, especially at this sort of level, you know, and the age of as the referee is, to just be confident, you know, not be submissive, but again, not to be aggressive in their process.
Some of us as referees, we have a different stature to others, and it was quite evident there was a lad in there about 6'3", 6'4", who his stature would be quite imposing, commanding, I would expect, when he's out refereeing. What sort of advice would you be offering him as regards things that he shouldn't be doing with his stature, as opposed to a 5'6" referee that needs to do with their stature?
Yeah, somebody who's as tall as that can really use his stature to his own advantage, but again, he's got to be very conscious that the fact that he's much taller and will be more taller than the players, you know. So some of the things we would advise him not to do is sort of look down on players, get too close to players, keep his distance when he's talking to them, and probably more have to express an open body language because of the height of the individual, you know. Whereas, you know, somebody who's sort of the average height of the players, etc., probably doesn't have to be so conscious because, you know, the height is, you know, he's quite tall, etc. So if he was to stand over somebody, he would literally just be looking over them, you know. So we'd sort of talk about that. And it was funny, actually, after the session, he actually came over and he identifies that as an individual himself. And he was actually talking about what is acceptable about standing in between two players, because he was conscious when he did a fourth official that he was too aggressive with one of the managers because he was too close. And the advice I gave to him was, well, be always mindful of that and make sure you leave plenty of space between the individual that you're talking to.
That's so. Some good advice in there, Alan. What about a referee using arms? I mean, we talk about basic signals. Let's forget about that. I'm not talking about those issues. I'm on about the referees with gestures using the arms. What sort of things might you sort of recommend as opposed to not want to see?
Yeah, we ask for them to be open with the palms. You know, we try and tell them not to sort of finger wag, especially not put, some of them tend to put the fingers on the lips. We would advise, you know, not to be doing that. It can become come across quite patronising towards a player if you're putting your fingers on the lips. You know, sort of if a player's having a go, not stand with the hands on the hips, you know, that kind of stuff. Just really generally just be tall, be assertive but not aggressive, but be open with your body language. So flat palms facing downwards, you know, quite calm the situation down, and just generally take your time, really.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
This is a workshop involving offside decision making and the assistant referee. What are you actually looking for?
We're looking to ensure that the assistant referee remains alert, tracks the second-rearmost defender, and also ensures that he actually invokes the modern interpretation of offside, i.e. seeking to gain an advantage in all those situations which have changed in the modern interpretation. The law itself hasn't changed, the way we interpret it has,
yes.
And that's subtle. It's making sure they understand the interpretation of the law.
I like the confirmation of that. What are the qualities you're actually looking for with this particular technique for assistant referees? What are the qualities that you've been...
Alertness, speed, concentration, focus.
Yeah. Alertness, speed, concentration, focus. And that's only part of it, isn't it?
And that's the last one almost being the most important one, because as we well know, it's easy to drift off, and they mustn't drift off. They've got to stay focused.
Okay, thanks very much, Andy.
My name's Andy Moisey, referee development officer from Hampshire FA, and basically the reason I was given the feedback there is during the session, some of the referees weren't actually indicating correctly with the flag, so the feedback was due really to confirm and make sure that they understood the correct signal for offside.
Okay, just go through that signal for offside for me, just to confirm what our listeners are going to be trying to understand and visualise.
Okay, basically the assistant referee is going to give a signal to the referee to communicate offside, and that's quite simply is to raise the flag in the right hand and straight above their head, and then once they've done that, the referee will hopefully see that the assistant referee has raised his flag and will acknowledge that by blowing the whistle. Once the referee blows his whistle, the assistant referee will then lower his flag to indicate whether it's on the near side, middle or the far side of the field of play.
Thanks
with regards to the offside.
How does an assistant referee ensure that he's got the flag directly up? What's the tip there you can offer?
Basically the best tip I can offer there is when you're raising the arm, make sure that the arm is an extension effectively of your hand, and then the arm is touching the ear, and at least that way you know that generally the arm is straight above your head.
Great piece of advice, Ian. Thanks very much.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, it's Ross Joyce, referee development officer for North Riding County FA.
Your workshop that you were just doing, highlight what you were looking for and what you're trying to help referees with.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking, obviously, at the new referees. We're looking at good practice in the early stages so we don't get into bad habits. We're looking at basic, like, sort of, say, a flag technique, movement, positioning, you know, ensuring that they're staying level with the secondary most defender in situations. And then we're sort of expanding that into some practical elements of offside judgments, which is really interesting. So we're looking at the sort of active, non-active players of play, and giving the young people, you know, the opportunity to make some judgments.
So what you're trying to introduce into your workshop is agility, focus on the position for the rearmost defender, and movement off the spot, because I did notice there was a little bit of sprinting involved there.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we're giving these examples what basically will happen on local games, whether it be on the local parks, the supply league games, situations and scenarios will happen readily. So for instance, there you mentioned we had one there where sometimes a set piece was pinged from a certain distance, and the the tracking the defender and the ability to probably sprint in over a short distance or in some cases even longer distance and give them sort of live, hopefully live situations, which will happen on match days really.
That sprint off the mark is almost coming without even having to think about it, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And as you know yourself, with the assistant referee, it's all about being focused, being switched on alertness, you know, and ensuring that the position at all times is with the secondary and most defender. And sometimes as play develops and materialises, they haven't got the chance to neutralise that sprint and you know, make sure they're in the right position.
And the interesting part that you did include in your comment was it could be from any level of football, this.
Absolutely. You see, it happens all the time. You know, we see, don't we, on the Football League and the Premier League, that how tight now offside decisions are to be made. We see the really tight decisions, and we're just trying to sort of concrete to these young people the importance of good positioning and good judgment, you know, which will ensure by getting these decisions right.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.
Hopefully by now you've picked up on some of the advice, some of the tips that were given in some of the workshops at the Young Referees Development Plan in this special two-part episode of the Referees World Podcast. And still to come, we talk to Dan Meeson and Bobby Madley, who show and talk about their experience and put the referees who attended the conference into some typical match scenarios. Plus, we find out more about the RAFA Youth Council.
The download is complete.